We'll be reading about three portions of Scripture. Firstly, in Isaiah chapter 53, just a few verses there. And then in John 5, and then we go back to our familiar John 1. Isaiah 53. One through six. Gracious Father, again we thank you for this privilege of coming in your presence and the opportunity which you have of reading your word. We pray as we so do, we'll have another glimpse of your greatness, your goodness, and as we've been singing, of your grace. Enable us by thy power to, like the apostles, to share your word in our own way as you would direct. We ask at this time to remember Brother Earl, who is not quite well. Bless him at home and take charge of the saints scattered around this globe who also might be physically afflicted in some way. May each affliction serve to draw them nearer to you. So bless the word and bless us as we wait in your presence. For we ask these things in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah was writing, he said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid laid on him the iniquities of us all." John chapter 5. Verses 24 and 25. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. John 1. Verses 43 through 46. The next day, Jesus went forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And Lord, we bless our hearts, the reading of his word, as he's promised. We've been looking at the Lord's dealing with Philip. We found that in spite of his zeal, Philip was very much like any one of us. He walked with Jesus for quite a while, yet he did not recognize the power of the Lord. And he was asked about getting bread to feed the multitude. In John chapter 6, Philip says, How can we do this? I'm paraphrasing. Later on, we found that Philip didn't fully grasp God's program, that he came to the Jews at first. But after he was lifted up on the cross, as in John chapter 12, verse 32 says, And I, if I be lifted up, will draw or drag all men unto me. Sometimes we behave as the Jewish people behaved, and we resist the dragging of God. Stephen in Acts chapter 7 told the people full well, Do you resist the Holy Spirit? Then Philip didn't fully grasp all about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And Philip said, Show us the Father, and that will satisfy us. And Jesus stepped back and said, Philip, have you been such a long time with me? You're going to ask me, Show us the Father? Sometimes we too could be so stuck in our ways that we fail to see the simple truths as found in God's Word. But what I like about Philip is that what he grasped, he was prepared to share. So when he met the Lord Jesus Christ,
He communed with him. He quickly passed on a simple message to his friend Nathanael. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Perhaps Philip, like Andrew, was stirred by the preaching of John the Baptist. The kingdom of God is at hand. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Messiah is coming. Perhaps he was looking for that Messiah. God is fulfilling his promise. You see, Philip couldn't understand all about what the prophets had said. He couldn't get a grip of Isaiah 53 when he spoke to Nathanael. But at least he knew what God had promised. He knew that in the law, in chapter 18, Deuteronomy 18, that God said through Moses that I will raise up a prophet like unto thee. Let's look at it for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I think verse 18. It says, I will raise up unto them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. I shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. That's what the law said. Some years after, when David had presumed to build a house for God, the prophet Nathan came to him first, said, go build it. Then he came back in chapter 7 of 2 Samuel. And God said, don't build it. But I've got a better promise for you. Verse 12 said, when your days are fulfilled, 2 Samuel 7 and 12, and you shall sleep with your fathers, I will set up thy seed after you, which shall proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he will build an house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. David got a grip of what he was saying. And in verse 24 of that very chapter, David said, continuing his prayer, thou hast confirmed to thyself and thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken unto thy, concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever. He said that God had spoken a word that will continue for a long time. I think Philip probably also understood what Jeremiah said. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 8, that linked the coming of the Lord to David. He said, the days, behold, the days come, says the Lord, I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. That's very important, you know. That day has not arrived. Israel is not dwelling safely. And whatever you call Israel, Israel is not dwelling in peace. And read again. In his day, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Sikenu. So you've got that. He would have gotten a little understanding of what that anointed one, that Messiah, that Christ would have been. Looking forward for the Son of David to come and allow his people to dwell safely. Looking forward for this one to do something marvelous. A strange person. Wonderful person. Look what is spoken above in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Behold, thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is a ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been of old from everlasting. That's a wonderful verse. But in any case, Nathaniel did not have as much as we have. But Nathaniel laid hold on what God had given to him. And he went with boldness and Philip, laid hold on what God had given to him. And he went with boldness and told it to Nathaniel. I could pause by saying this. Do we share the Lord with others with simplicity? Are we so caught up in our business, our activities, that we fail to pass a tract out, that we fail to tell someone about Jesus? There are many out there who don't know him. I went to a stop somewhere in Schenectady this recently, and I didn't have any tracts on me. Why? Because I saw a pile at home, and I planned to pick up some here when I came, and I forgot. So I just had a few in my pocket, and they were all done. So I made a passing remark to the chap at the counter. Fine-looking chap who took the check me out. I can't remember who I put it over with him. But he said to me, I know I have a Bible at home, but I've never read it. He's probably a boy about 19 years or thereabouts. I've never read it. I was taken aback. So I told him a few things, went to the car, found some things, and went back and gave it to him. What I'm saying is this, each one of us, in our own way, in your little worlds, should seek to be a Philip. It doesn't have to be something sophisticated. Just pass on what God has given to you. Somebody out there needs it. But in expressing himself,
Nathanael said,
"We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael, for a moment, forgot everything that Philip said and focused on one thing: Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Don't lose heart if that's the reaction when you seek to witness. You see, Nazareth, what is a small village? It's of lesser significance than Bethlehem. And the people look down upon the whole area, not only Nazareth, they look down upon the whole of Galilee. You remember the incident which happened in John chapter 7? Let's turn to it for a moment. John chapter 7. Verse 40. I wish I could read the whole portion. I won't, but I look at verse 40 and 42 or 43, and then I go to the end of it. It says here, "Many of the people therefore said, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is a prophet. And others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee, of which Nazareth was a part? Not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the tongue of Bethlehem, where David was born?" And it was a division. Later on, verse 49, people reported back from Martha. Let's go on. Let's go to 46. I apologize to you. 45. "Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, never a man spake like this man. And they answered them and the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are accursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? And they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search the scriptures and look for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went to his own house. I don't know. This may not be quite right, because Jonah, I could have been from Galilee, and Nahum could have been from Galilee, and Capernaum, if you translate it to the Hebrew, really means village of Nahum. So people can argue. When you want to argue, you can argue at nothing. In any event, they were looking down upon Nazareth and Galilee. Sometimes I am struck that even in our day we can probably make the same thing. I think two of my, I refer to them very often, John Calvin and Matthew Henry, both of them said that among the mistakes that Philip made was to refer to him as Jesus of Nazareth.
I read both commentaries sometimes, but I was struck by that little comment by these two notable men. But what amazed me is this, that not only did Philip refer to him as Jesus of Nazareth, but after his death and resurrection, he was referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. Acts chapter 2. Verse 22. "Ye men of Galilee," said Peter, "hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know." Jesus of Nazareth, amen. I like that verse in John 12 and 37, almost a word of condemnation. "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." God has been speaking to me and to you every day. That's you. Then across the page in chapter 3. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Then chapter 4, verse 10. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole." Was Peter making an error? I think not. When the Apostle Paul was describing his conversion and spoke of the Lord meeting him, in Acts 22, he said this. Acts 22. He was speaking to the people on the steps of the soldiers, on the stairs of the soldiers' barracks, I believe. Verse 7 says, "I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." Now why was this so? You see, Jesus, the Lord Jesus, took that humble position. It was no big deal for him to come and said, "I came from Nazareth." After all, he created the world by his word. All was made by him and for him. He left the glory by, took upon himself the form of man, and came and dwelt among us. Yet he despised him. Did we not read in Isaiah 53? We despised him. Men looked down upon him. Men did not consider him someone to be admired. There is no beauty in him that we should desire him. He despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But he had a purpose. He came to die for you and for me. And when he came into this world, in spite of what people say, he came to identify himself with each one of us. I know by nature we are part of absolute no goods. For a moment, let's look at Romans chapter 3 to see where we were. This is every one of us. Verse 10. As it is written, and this is a quotation from two places, Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. As it is written, there is none righteous. There is none that doeth, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. If you want to continue, continue, and you'll see how awful we were. Absolutely nothing good in us. And yet the Lord was pleased to come, identifying himself with us. Hebrews chapter 2 speaks of this attitude of the Lord. Verse 11, the second part says, let's go back to verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, he's been singing of that grace this morning, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and he that is sanctified are all one. Because he is not ashamed to call the likes of us brothers. He came down to die for you and for me. I can't fathom it. And when I think of Romans chapter 3, I think of another description. When the scripture says we're not only people who don't seek God, who can't understand God, but he says we are people who are dead. Dead. Whatever you consider dead. The worst, dead. Yet, we read together that verse in John 5 and 25. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear his voice, and they that hear it shall live. I can't fathom the marvel of God. I can't fathom what God has done. But I can only rejoice in the grace of God. That he gives every man the opportunity to trust him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes. Jesus came down and took our body. Something like us. He lived a life pleasing to God, that we should not go to hell, that we should not perish, but that anyone who hears his voice calling us today, the hour is coming and now is, and the dead shall hear his voice, and they that hear it shall live. If you have trusted Christ as a Savior, rejoice in the life that God has given. If perchance that you're not sure of your salvation, hear the voice of Philip again. Nathanael's objection. You want to understand this one of whom Moses and the prophets did write? You're questioning why he should be Jesus of Nazareth, one like us? Come and see. Come and see. I like that other verse in Psalm 34 which says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." It's an invitation to all, to all, to all. For he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I know my scholars will quibble on the question what any means and what all means and when it's this and when it's that, and they quibble over these things. But I rejoice in simplicity what the word says, and I exalt God's word above the reasoned arguments of men. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God loves you. God loves you. That's why he sent his son to die for us. So one, rejoice in what God has done. If you've already received him, don't give up, because God hasn't given up on you. Understand, in spite of our weaknesses, and I've got plenty of weaknesses, sometimes I marvel at how much I don't know. And I wish I had time to know more. And there's so much more to know in his word. So if you like Philip, misunderstanding power, program, and persons, just continue feeding upon God's word, and God will teach you. But in the meantime, share what God's given to you. Don't keep it to yourself. And if perchance you do not know the peace and the blessedness of sins forgiven, when we bow in prayer this morning, just say, "Lord, please save me. I know you died for me. Please take me as I am. I want to hear what Philip says to come and see." Let's bow in prayer. And this time, let us all pray. Praying for one another, those who can. And praying that the Lord take charge of your life, that you may hear his voice. "He that hears my word," Jesus said in John 5:24, "and believes and trusts and rests in him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." Ask the Lord right now, take charge of your life, that you may know his peace and his forgiveness. May your life be a blessing. Gracious Father, again we thank you because you are so wonderful, so very patient with us. Your love goes beyond our wildest dreams. You know all the secrets of our hearts. And we are amazed, O God, you love us still. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for allowing your Son to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. We ask of you, Lord, you'll move us to trust you today and to share you always. Bless us here. But more than that, O God, we ask of you to use us when we leave this place today to let the world know what you have done for us. What great things the Lord has done for us. Open our lips, O God. Give us the boldness, the joy to be witnesses of your grace. And O God, as we think of ourselves here in this corner, sitting so comfortably in this building, remember our brothers and sisters in other places that are under severe stress just to confess you as Lord. Help them to know your peace in spite of the persecution. And bless them, O God. Bless thy people and thy people's children. We ask these things with thanksgivings in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This week was another birthday of mine. The Lord saved me and sent me to April 1953. Just like yesterday, as I say to people, more excited about him now than I was then. The marvelous Savior. Since I've got a hope, he cleanses and saves and keeps. Weak ones like me gives us hope in spite of all the talk and what's going on around us. Keep reading the word. Keep rejoicing in Jesus. Let him be your stay. Let's really ring it out. You understand? Here's the thing, Lord. Let's really ring it down and ring it out. Since Jesus came into your heart. Tune and you're not sure of Jesus, while we sing, you can say, Lord, save me. Nothing fantastic, just a simple lifting your heart up and resting on Him. He wants you to have that joy. He wants you to be assured of that life today. No big deal. Speak to the Lord and rest upon what God has done to you. Just as the third verse,
There's a light in the valley of death now for me.
There's a light in the valley of death now for me.